Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 5, Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, Text 40. Tvam api adabhra shruta vishrutam vibho samapyate yena vidam. Prakyahi dukai muhu ardita atmanam sanklesha nirvanam ushantina anyata tamapyadabra shuta vishutam vibho samapyate yena vidam bubutsitam prakyahi dukarm muhurarditatmanam sanklesha nirvanam ushanti nanyata tvamapyadabra shuta vishutam vibho samapyate yena vidam bubutsitam prakyahi dukai muhurarditatmanam sanklesha nirvanam ushanti nanyata tvamapyadabra shuta vishutam vibho samapyate yena vidam bubutsitam prakyahi dukar muhurartitatmanam sanklesha nirvanam ushanti nanyata adadabha shuta vishutam vibha. Samapyate yena vidam bubutsitam tvamapyadabra shuta vishutam vibho samapyate yena vidam bubutsitam prakyahi dukaya muhurarditatmanam sanklesha nirvanam ushanti nanyata tvamapyadabra samapitam yena vidam bubutsitam prakyahi dukai muhurarditatmanam sanklesha nirvanam ushanti nanyata tvamapyadabha shuta vishutam vibho tvamapyate yena vidam bubutsitam prakyahi dukai muhurarditatmanam sanklesha nirvanam ushanti nanyata tvamapyadabha shuta vishutam vibho tvamapyate yena vidam bubutsitam prakyahi dukai muhurarditatmanam sanklesha nirvanam ushanti nanyata tvam your good soul. Api, also. Adabra, vast. Shruta, Vedic literatures. Vishutam have heard also. Vibho of the Almighty. Samapyate satisfied. Yena by which. Vidam of the learned. Bhabhutsitam, who always desire to learn transcendental knowledge. Prakyahi, describe. Dukai, by miseries. Muhuhu, always. Adita Atmanam, suffering mass of people. Sanklesha, sufferings. Nirvanam, mitigation. Vishantina, do not get out of. Anyata, by other means. Translation. Please therefore describe the Almighty Lord's activities, which you have learned by your vast knowledge of the Vedas. For that will satisfy the hankerings of great learned men and at the same time mitigate the miseries of the masses of common people who are always suffering from material pangs. Indeed, there is no other way to get out of such miseries.
Purport. Shri Narada Muni, from practical experience, definitely asserts that the prime solution of all problems of material work is to broadcast very widely the transcendental glories of the Supreme Lord. There are four classes of good men, and there are four classes of bad men also. The four classes of good men acknowledge the authority of the Almighty God, and therefore such good men are 1. When they are in difficulty, 2. When they are in need of money, 3. When they are advanced in knowledge, and 4. When they are inquisitive to know more and more about God.
Intuitively,
take shelter of the Lord. As such, Naradaji advises Vyasadeva to broadcast the transcendental knowledge of God in terms of the vast Vedic knowledge which he had already attained. As far as the bad men are concerned, they are also 4 in number. First, those who are simply addicted to the mode of progressive Vedic work and thus are subjected to the accompanying miseries. Second, those who are simply addicted to vicious work for sense gratification and so suffer the consequence. Third, those who are materially very much advanced in knowledge but who suffer because they do not have the sense to acknowledge the authority of the Almighty Lord. And fourth, the class of men who are known as atheists and who therefore purposely hate the very name of God, although they are always in difficulty. Sri Naradaji advised Vyasadeva to describe the glories of the Lord just to do good to all 8 classes of men, both good and bad. Srimad Bhagavatam is therefore not meant for any particular class of men or sect. It is for the sincere soul who actually wants his own welfare and peace of mind. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, 5th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam for Vyasadeva.
Tvam apyadabra shuta vishutam vibho samapyate yena vidam bhubhutsitam prakyahi dukair muhur arditatmanam sankleshya nirvanam shanti nanyata. Here we see how Krishna consciousness includes all the goals that are set by other means. Just like nirvana, the word is used here, nirvana, and the Buddhists are also seeking nirvana, which means to the cessation of material existence. Of course, their idea of cessation of material existence is annihilation of the of everything. So that is a very gross misunderstanding of nirvana. Just like if I have some disease in my eye, and I go to the doctor, and I say, I've got a disease, can you help me with the disease? He says, no problem. And he pulls out this kind of scooper, you know, some tweezers, and you say, what are you going to do? And he says, I'm going to pluck out the eye. Well, get rid of the eye, then you won't have any problem anymore. So no intelligent patient will want that. He'll say, no, why don't you cure the eye? So the best doctor is one who can cure the disease, keep the eye. Well, that is Krishna consciousness. One doesn't have to annihilate the living entity or the individuality, but simply get rid of the misconception, the disease that is causing the suffering. What is that disease that's causing the suffering? Ahankara. One is thinking, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Ahankara vimudhat ma katha hamiti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of all activities, which are actually carried out by material nature. He thinks, I'm this body, and aham mameti, I'm the body, and everything in relationship with this body is mine, and I'm the enjoyer. Ishwaroham aham bhogi, siroham balavan sukhi. He thinks I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller. This is the illusion. This is the disease that has to be removed, not the individuality of the soul. Krishna explains that the individual soul is always a separate person. Natveva aham jatunasham natum neme dinadipaha nachaiva nambhavishama sarve vayamatakvaram. He says, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So this is a misunderstanding. They want nirvana. They want to get free from material existence. They want enlightenment, but they don't actually know the process. Therefore, they're given, just like Lord Buddha, he tried to teach them ahimsa, ahimso paramo dharmo. Just be nonviolent. They can't even follow that. The leader of the Buddhists worldwide is a meat eater. So this is the situation. The people in this age are all fallen. They can't follow religious principles. This is a bad age. It's Kaler Doshini De Rajan. It's an ocean of faults. Recently, some of the leaders of the Buddhists. Now, many people are turning, many people are turning to Buddhism because, one, it's atheism. No God, no soul. And two, they think that they're being harassed by the other religions' stance on illicit sex, so they're thinking Buddhism will be easier. So a group of homosexual leaders of the Buddhism, they approached the Dalai Lama. But he said, no, this is illicit sex, homosex. So at least he upheld that point. But then later on he said, but it can also change. We can adjust if science comes up with some new discoveries, we can change. So this is, they don't really know what religious principles are. Dharmast tattvam hitam guhayam mahajano yena katha sapanta dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat panitam. Religious principles cannot be changed, cannot be made up by people, but they're enunciated by God. Therefore, Krishna He is the most important person because he's God, and whatever he says, that's religion. Dharma. That is the guideline. That is the rules for everyone to follow. We see that people have a hard time giving up sense gratification. But that means they're remaining like animals. Nayam deho deho bhajam niloke kastan karman har atevid bhujamye. Actually, the goal of life is to give up all sense gratification, materially oriented. One should reduce eating, reduce sleeping, reduce mating and defending, to the point where he's simply engaged in devotional service to the Lord without even considering these things. And whatever small amount of food or rest is required to keep the body and soul together, he can accept that. Unfortunately, modern society is taking that the whole goal of life is sense gratification. They think the more that one can enjoy his senses, the more his life is a success. But actually, it's just the opposite. Nidrahara vihara kari vichito chatyanta dino chayo. The six Goswamis, they reduced their sleeping and eating and mating down to practically nil. This is our example. Someone may say, well, I'm not a monk. I can't live like that. Okay, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur lived like him. He was a grihastha. But we see, as a grihastha, he also restricted his sense gratification. There's a big question all over. Now they're trying to find out what is illicit sex. They're trying to see how much they can give a liberal interpretation so they can enjoy their senses. But the Vedas very clearly explain illicit sex is any sex that is not for procreation within sacred marriage, bas. And even that is also restricted. Not all the time, but even within marriage, only once in a month. So it sounds like very strict. Yes, Krishna consciousness means strict, because if you actually want to please God, then you have to behave in a pious way, in a pure way. Because God knows why he designed the body, and it's like the sex impulse. We all know it's very strong and gives some pleasure. So people want to exploit that. They don't think that there's any higher purpose. But actually, yes, it's meant simply to carry on the life, to give offspring. Otherwise, it's not supposed to be utilized. One may say, why not? If it gives pleasure and it doesn't harm anyone, harmless pleasure, what's wrong with that? But, first of all, it's not harmless, and second of all, the pleasure that it brings is accompanied by dukkha. That word is used here also. Dukkha. That means there's miseries. One wants to get sukha, pleasure, but along with sukha comes dukkha. It's like if you think, I'll get the coin, I'll get only the heads part. No, but you get the tails also. Along with the pleasure comes the misery. That's the nature of this material world. Can you think of a way to avoid? If you try to avoid the miseries and just take the pleasure, then that is Ardha Kukura Nyai, the logic of the half hen. You know that logic? Yes. So the foolish keeper of the hen he thinks, I'll just keep the eggs and not the head, because it's eating too much. It cuts off the head. But you cannot just take the pleasure from this material world without the miseries. This place is meant for that. Dukhalayam Ashashvatam. Krishna certifies this place. This is a place of certified miseries. Cannot solve it. Can't stop the miseries. The only way to stop the miseries is to stop trying to take advantage of the pleasures. And rather, utilize everything for Krishna's service. Then, one actually becomes transcendental to material pleasure and miseries. But what happens, he gets a transcendental pleasure which is billions of times greater than the material pleasure that he gave up. So to give up something insignificant for something very great, that's not a difficult thing, that's not hard. So someone might say, well, if that's the case, why doesn't everyone take to Krishna consciousness? Because we see that in the world, this is a world of marketing, and what do they say? Supply and demand. So people have a demand for pleasure. They all want to be happy. So if someone's got happiness, then people will get it. They'll pay for it. They'll pay for a good product. So why isn't it that everyone doesn't take to Krishna consciousness? Yes? You're going to answer this question? Ask him if he's going to answer my question. Yeah, my question is why? Why doesn't everyone take to Krishna consciousness? Give him the mic over there. If it's the most pleasure, why shouldn't everyone take it?
It's said that it's the most pleasurable, but it's like medicine. It's got a bad taste in the beginning. It's hard to acquire. It's like...
Yeah, but we see that when people have a disease, just like, AIDS. So people who get AIDS, they're dying. So if the doctor says, here's some medicine, but it's a little bitter in the beginning, will they still take it? They'll take it. So it seems that they should still take it, even though it's a little bitter, because they want to save themselves from suffering.
Well, what they're seeking is pleasure. They're not really seeking it. That's what they're seeking. So whether... If that's what they're seeking and they're not getting it, they're going to try to find it elsewhere. But see, that's why the intelligent class of men are someone who knows, who has learned. That's why once he finds out that that is actually pleasure, I just got to do a little more. Like the people who go to college. They realize, hey, if I go to college and I work a little hard in the beginning, it's going to be nice in the end. The same with Krishna consciousness.
So you're saying that, but then everyone should do it. Why don't they do it? You're saying they don't do it because... It's a little bitter in the beginning. But what if it's not bitter? Yeah. So you're saying it is bitter because you have to give up. It's bitter for those who are addicted, you could say. For those who are addicted to sense gratification, then giving it up is difficult. Whereas if someone's already practiced in the mode of goodness, he's trained, then it's not bitter. That's why education should begin at youth, 5 years. Komara acare pragya dharmam bhagavataniya. Yes, that's a very good point. If you train them from the beginning to live in a pure way, don't think of sense gratification. Don't waste your time. Don't eat nonsense. No. Then, it's much easier. If they know that their leaders teach them, don't take drugs, don't take intoxication. If they see that their parents don't do it, then they'll think, well, I'm not going to do this. So it won't be difficult to give it up. It's like, in my own experience, one of my parents did not smoke or drink, so it made it very easy because I wanted to emulate that. I just thought, well, he doesn't do that, so I won't do that. Smoke. Question?
I was going to say that people are childish and they want immediate gratification.
Yes, it's true. They're not very thoughtful. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hyupadutaha. Both those answers, yes, they just want immediate pleasure. They're not willing to undergo any austerity. This is Kali Yuga. People are lost. Their intelligence is bewildered. So then there's four types of good people and four types of bad people, as described in the purport. So the bad people, first one is mudha. They work hard like the ass. They're only interested in working. They think, this is my duty, I have to work. Now they don't think about anything else, just work. Then the next group are the Naradhama. They're addicted to sinful activities. They want sense gratification. That's all. And then the next group is the Mayaya Aparita Jnana. They're very intellectual, intelligent, learned, but their intelligence is stolen away by illusion. They're illusioned. Materially, they seem very intelligent, but actually they're illusioned by the material energy. And the last group are the atheist class. They're the Asuram Bhava Mashutaha. The Asura. They've actually taken a stance that there's no God. They don't believe in God. So these four people, they don't surrender to Krishna. And there's four groups that do come to devotional service. One, they're called pious. These four groups are in the category of pious persons. Sukutini. Sukutina. The first one is Artha. He's poverty stricken. Artharti. He's in distress. Yes. He's distressed. Then he's poverty stricken and curiosity. And finally, searching for knowledge of the Absolute. These four persons are considered pious because they go to Krishna for ameliorating their problems. Whereas the four Duskritina, the sinful persons, they don't go to Krishna. So at least it's better that those who go to the church or the mosque, or the temple, and pray to God to please give them some food, or some money, or some sense gratification, or relief. That's better. They're more pious.
Regarding the stage anartha nivritti, should we struggle? Fight our bad habits, or they will automatically go away with them.
Should we fight our bad habits or wait for them to go away? Is that the idea?
Yeah, wait for them to go away automatically by discharging devotional service.
Both. We should discharge devotional service despite our bad habits, but at the same time we should make some plan and make endeavor to overcome. Yeah, just like for example, when you go to the doctor gives you medicine, but But he, along with the medicine, he says, don't do this, don't do this, don't eat that, don't eat that. So if you think, well, I'll just take the medicine, but I'll keep doing all the nonsense things, that's okay. Well, that won't work. The medicine will work, but there has to be some proper behavior too, proper change of consciousness. We have to make that effort. But yes, I really want to give up this nonsense. And I'm going to make efforts, serious efforts, how to do it. It's like sometimes we may be struggling to get up early in the morning. It's so difficult. And then as soon as we associate with devotees, it becomes easy, isn't it? We can immediately get up every day. You probably have experience of that. You couldn't get up before, right? Living on your own. Yeah. A lot harder, yeah. So, by making arrangements, so he's intelligent, he came here, he showed Krishna that I really want to improve, and he made the effort to improve as well. But we have to make that effort. Show Krishna that we're sincere. Then God helps those who help themselves.
Isn't Vyasadev going to make offenses if he preaches to the faithless? Isn't that one of the offenses against the holy name?
Your question is preaching to the atheists or the envious, is that an offense to the holy name?
Number 9.
Yes.
So why is Naradaji instructing Vyasadeva to do that?
Instructing him to do that?
Yeah. Here, it says, Sri Naradaji advised Vyasadeva to describe the glories of the Lord just to do good to all 8 classes of men, both good and bad. So I was wondering why he was instructing him to preach to the atheists, if that's an offense.
Well, because Vyasadeva is so expert. Narad Muni knows that Vyasadeva is so expert that he'll do it in such a way that they'll all benefit. Everyone. An expert preacher is so empowered that he can even get sinful people. Even asuras can be transformed. Look at Narad Muni. He transformed Valmiki Muni, who was a plunderer. And the hunter, Magari, he was engaged in all sinful activities. But Narad Muni was so expert. Look at Prabhupada. Look how many people he's affected who were engaged in all sinful activities. So an expert preacher can do that. He presents it in such a way that they don't even realize that they're getting the medicine. It's like a doctor. He may give The child doesn't like to take medicine, so he puts sugar coating in it. Or puts some syrup in it, sweet. And he says, take this. Oh, it's sugar candy, it's sweet. So we have to make it sweet. That's why we have the Sunday feast. To make it sweet. I think we have to stop now. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.